He's a former Brewers pitcher. You can hear him on his podcast, Buses, Benches, and Baseball. It's time to hear from FanDuel Sports Network Brewers analyst, Tim Dillard, as he joins Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Hey, you know what? I forgot to tell you this. This was a couple weeks ago. The Brewers announced this, you know, home run derby coming up at the end of the month after a Friday Marlins game, and Prince Fielder and all these guys are going to be here and all that. And I brought up to Rick, I was like, I mean, you're the president of business operations. I figured he'd be a good guy to go to, Tim Dillard. I was like, hey, man, how is Dillard not throwing, and how is Vinny Rutino not catching? Like, does it not make a lot of sense to have these two guys involved in this, or break them up into teams and, like George Kitaris and whoever be on one side, these two be on the other side for the broadcast team, you know, Team A versus Team B? So I don't know, man. I tried to put in a good word in for you and Vinny, because I feel like you both should be involved in this. I mean, Rock, okay, fine. I get it. He can't catch anymore. I understand. But you all should be out there and be involved with this, Tim.
You're trying to get me to give up more home runs? That's all I can hear. I've given up enough for a small army. No, yeah. That's okay. No, I think I'm going to be one of the umpires, which I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think you really need an umpire for home run derby. So that kind of shows you where I'm at.
So like what? You're determining foul or fair on close balls down the line? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Maybe. Maybe. You know, I'm trying to stay in some kind of shape swinging the bat just in case somebody calls in sick, you know, and can't show up. Or, you know, if they do, if somebody doesn't show up and then George has to hit instead of catch, then maybe I'll catch. Either way, I'm down for whatever, because I think this is an amazing idea.
Okay, so first off, I understand you were a pitcher in the big leagues and all of that, but I also know that you played for a long time, obviously, because your dad played and all that. So when was the last home run derby that Tim Dillard was in, and how good were you, if you remember that long ago? Like, are we going back to high school for a home run derby? Are we going back to, like,
home run derby?
Youth sports for a home run derby? Because, like, my kid growing up, he's a senior now, but when he was growing up, he played in a home run derby all-star contest in Bettendorf, Iowa one year, so he got to be in one. He did another one at Field of Dreams in Iowa one year, which was fun. Just, I would assume you, being as talented as you are, probably one or two of these things at some point.
I think my family and I had a wiffle ball home run derby over at Broken Bat Brewery only like a month ago.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think I won that one. I honestly can't remember having a home run derby.
Really?
I think back when pitchers used to hit, I think in the minor leagues, AA or AAA, I think one day we tried to, you know, put something together. I think back in the day, if you threw a combined shutout, eventually, whether you're on the road or when you came back home, have pitchers batting practice. And, you know, that was basically, you know, a home run derby. No one's pitchers aren't trying to hit the ball to the right side of the infield behind a runner. No one's trying to do that. We were swinging for the fence. But I don't know. I can't remember or recall a home run derby. I was in a softball home run derby once, and I did win that one.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Because, I mean, if you go back in Brewers history, like, Grinke, I think, was a pretty good bat. Gallardo had a bat. Sabathia definitely had a pretty good bat when he played. I mean, Bruce have had some pitchers come through here that could hit a little bit.
Gallardo, I don't think he's going to win it, but he's going to put up a show, because that guy could always hit. Very smooth swing, and it didn't take much to, you know, have some pop. Back in the day when we used to take a lot of batting practice, you know, like the day before you started usually was the day that you would take batting practice. I mean, him, if you remember Willie Peralta, guy could absolutely crush a baseball. These guys just, you know, just because they're a pitcher doesn't mean they haven't hit or can't hit. I'm pretty sure Giovanni, I got him probably going to the next round, however they structure this home run derby.
Oh, buddy, a pitcher going to get through to round two. That's going to be a story. That's what's going to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to come down to a ball that's going to be barely foul or fair to determine if Gallardo goes forward. Until it's like,
man, the umpire,
fair ball.
Umpire's going to botch it.
Fair ball. Gallardo's going through. Me. Pitchers for life, baby. He's going through. Too bad. Deal with it. There'll be drama out of the home run derby because of a Dillard call out a foul or a fair home run call. Oh, that'd be beautiful.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I saw Gallardo in Texas a couple years ago when the Brewers went to Arlington.
Yeah.
And I mean, he still looks like he could play. Still, I know he can hit. So yeah, that's one of my picks. I don't think he'll win, but I think he'll do well. But
doesn't everybody take Prince Fielder? He was just in a home run derby a couple weeks ago, wasn't he?
Who is going to bet against him? But honestly, we were on a Zoom call the other day. I don't know if it was... Were you on that call?
No,
there was media
not.
On there. I'm not even sure why I had the link or what I was doing. But Carlos Gomez was on there. Ryan Braun. They were kind of talking through everything on like what the rules are going to be. Gogo is going to try harder than anybody. So he has a great shot at winning. And Braun was kind of underplaying everything. Oh, I haven't swung a bat in 3 years. Save it. He is going to be fully prepared. He's down, but I know him well. He's downplaying it because he's about to deliver. So, yeah, Prince, Gomez, and Braun, those guys are going to be going for it.
So it's July 25th after the Brewers-Marlins game. You want to hang out for the post-game home run derby. It is going to be an absolute blast. I guarantee you that one. Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Network, Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. You can stream us, obviously, on YouTube as well, at the Fan Milwaukee. Use that at symbol, at the Fan Milwaukee. All local shows now streaming for the last 2 weeks here on The Fan. He joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. All right, so let's talk about this Brewers team. They sweep the Dodgers. Obviously, I want to start where everybody starts nowadays when they talk about the Brewers. We'll talk about Mizorowski and what he did there. We were talking about it coming up to this start on the show, which was, this is a huge kind of big start for him. Even though it's early in his career, but that was kind of the first time, well, it was the first time, where he kind of got roughed up a little bit to see how he was going to respond, to go up against a star-studded lineup on top of all of that in the Dodgers, and you're at home, which is good, I guess, going forward. And how would he react, and how would he respond? And I don't know, man. Like, I don't think he could have pitched any better than he did in that game. That was amazing.
Yeah, 12 punch-outs, 6 innings. He is going to continually impress. And I don't think it matters who he's facing. You know, the Dodgers, he's very aware of the lineup. He knows there's going to be a crowd. But I think the crowds have helped, right? I think he gets up there and on the mound, and he can just feel that energy. And for as long as I played in the minor leagues, I can tell you that energy is hard to replicate when you're in the big leagues. I mean, it's maybe winter ball has a good shot at it because you get a little smaller venues with like packed house and everybody hangs on every single pitch the entire game. But when you're pitching in front of your hometown crowd and, you know, 40,000 show up, that's pretty amazing. Like, it's hard to downplay that. So I think him going to the big leagues, I think he's just pitching the way he's always pitched. It's just a bigger venue and I think he gets excited about it, which how do you not? Because watching him pitch, it makes you want to quit, right? Like, if you're a pitcher out there and you're like, oh, this is what you're supposed to look like. Like, I got no shot, but it's pretty amazing to watch him.
It's funny. Everybody made a big deal about Kershaw, not knowing who he is. He knows who he is now, whatever. But the one thing is that, you know, he talked about being able to locate all 4 pitches. And then DeRosa, who we're going to have on after the All-Star break, Mark DeRosa, former big leaguer, played for the Cubs, unfortunately. But on MLB Network, he did like a 5-minute thing on Mizorowski the morning after that last start. And I watched all of it. And he was just talking about like the variation of when he's throwing his pitches and so forth. And that last game was the first time really where he really went all in kind of with that curveball, like 29-30% of the time, way more than he'd thrown it in the past. We talked about when he came up of, y'all want to talk about the fastball, the slider, that's great, but that curveball can be lethal. And he was using it. And when that's going with everything else, I mean, he's damn near unhittable at times.
Well, every pitch is transactional, right? Like, every pitch Mizorowski throws in the big leagues, he gets more experience. He's going to get better. Regardless of the result, he's getting experience. He's getting better. But every pitch also gives more data to everyone out there. Every team that he's facing, every team that he's going to face, they're all putting this stuff, and they're trying to come out with the best. What are you going to see when you're at the plate? And what location are you going to see? And what's it going to look like? So every team is preparing for that. So right now, he does have a chance to be able to pitch off of what it looks like. So if last time out he threw a whole bunch of curveballs, you got to think the next team coming in is going to be like, all right, we're going to see some curveballs. So you kind of have to go, okay, well, now what do I do? Not to say that he can't throw every single pitch a fastball and probably do pretty well, or a curveball. It's all nasty. But you still have to gear up, and you have to pick and choose. His stuff is so quick. You have so little time to react. You have to guess kind of the speed, and you have to guess kind of the location. Outside of that, if you're just going to react, I doubt you're going to be able to do much against him.
It's funny, we were talking about Carlos Gomez earlier and how he's going to give everything. And that was a dude that played with emotion and fire all the time. Good or bad, but he was an emotional cat when he played. Mizorowski definitely feels like an emotional cat when he's out there pitching, hopping and jumping and screaming. Like, that first base coach for the Dodgers was right there when he went hopping past him and just, I'm pretty sure he was in the F-word, I don't know, screaming up and down past the first base coach. I was like, man, you kind of got to be careful. That first base coach, I don't think you're yelling at him as you come hopping past him, past the foul line. But that's, to me, because I'm an emotional dude, I like that. I like playing with that type of energy and that type of emotion. And I think, you tell me, it probably rubs off on his teammates a little bit too.
It probably does. And, you know, I know Chris Woodward, he's the first base coach for the Dodgers.
There you go.
He probably didn't care. He knows. He was a manager.
Yep.
We were teammates together back in the day. He knows what it's like. He knows the kid's young and just absolutely enjoys, number one, pitching, but doing well, like pitching in front of your teammates, like trying to help your teammates win a ball game. When you feel like you've done your job, man, there's no better feeling. And I think what you're talking about is, as soon as he knew he was done, he was like, I'm not going to go back out there. He knew that. So you kind of let off all that steam and all that pressure that you've been wanting to, right? All that excitement has built up probably from the last time he was on the mound, from all the days of rest until he gets on the bump and then all six innings. And then finally, you don't have to perform anymore. You can let your guard down. I love that. I love that, honestly. Like, that's how every pitcher feels. And so for him to be able to, you know, express that, that's, I mean, go for it. Yes, it does pump up the team too. You want to rally behind a guy, good, bad, and different. You want to be the guy, as soon as he take the mound, everybody behind you is like, yeah, I got your back. And I think you can feel it, especially with this Brewers team.
Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Network, Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. The other thing that we should point out here, talking about the Mizorowski situation, is in that last inning, he gets a couple runners on and Murphy didn't bail on him. And if he would have bailed on him, I think everybody watching would have been like, yeah, okay, fine. Kind of saw this coming, right? Try and help the kid get through this inning and get this win. Don't let him lose this game at that point. That's what most managers would have done. He didn't, showed a lot of faith in him. And I think that's huge for the psyche of Mizorowski as well, that his manager trusted him this early in the process.
I think, you know, when you go against what has normally been done, and I think Murph's done this about three times this year, where there's a chance, hey, I'm going to take him out. You know, got the guy ready in the bullpen. All the pieces are in place. Everything, every manager, every algorithm is probably saying, you know, take this guy out, put this guy in. And Murph is, you know, for the most part, he's about right on, you know, right on line. But about three, maybe four times this year, he's like, you know what? I'm going to leave him out there. He did it with Quintana too the other day.
Right.
Quintana has been within like one pitch away from getting like four quality starts added on to whatever he's already done. And the same thing goes out there. Everyone thinks, I mean, I was watching the broadcast and they were like about to go to break, right? Like getting ready for commercials. There's probably a producer in the air like, hey, we're going to go to commercial. And then all of a sudden Murph's like, all right, you got this, leaves. Everyone's like, oh, they're leaving it back out there. One pitch, change up, ground ball back to him, six innings, yep. Quality start. You do your job. I'm telling you, pitchers love that. Pitchers love that. They feed off of that. And when you are left out there, when you think you're going to be taken out, it goes one or two ways. Either it goes horribly bad or it goes good, and it goes so well that this is a turning point, especially for a young pitcher to be like, this is what it feels like. This is what it's like. I rose to the occasion. They gave me the opportunity and I nailed it. Like that, I'm telling you, that resonates really with players.
Got to talk about Trevor McGill getting the All-Star nod and getting his chance to go to the All-Star game. Well-deserved him.
I mean, the guy's a beast. And keeping, right, I saw a tweet or an X or whatever about, like, you know, all the – what the Brewers have done as far as closers and all-stars. And, I mean, 100% McGill deserves this. And what a force, right? He's had such a great journey. And, you know, you look back on it and you're seeing all this success. And, I mean, I love it. I love it for the Brewers because it looks better. And, you know, hey, more all-stars. Let's go. But for him individually, what he – has gone through, and he's been a backseat guy, and then now he's in the driver's seat of the, you know, the closing role, and getting your body healthy every time, being out there in every kind of situation you can dream up against all the teams, and for him to be successful, I mean, just you got it. Knowing him and talking to him throughout the years, I mean, he's great. He is great, and I love that he's the closer because he's that throwback to that huge guy that throws 100.
Yes.
screams, and I mean, it's like, this guy is the leader, man. I love it.
He's another emotional guy, too, that wears his emotions on his sleeve. That's another good example of an emotional guy on this team. Last one, I brought this up a little bit earlier in the show briefly, only for like a couple of minutes. But, you know, we talk about the trade deadline. Okay, they need a power bat. They need a power bat. Okay, fine. I think everybody's on board with they need a power bat. But you can get relievers relatively cheap usually at the deadline that can come in and have a significant impact on a bullpen. And while this bullpen has been good, I'm not saying they haven't been, I guess I'm a little bit concerned about wear and tear by the time we get to the end of September, because I feel like Mears is pitching every day, Canning seemingly is pitching every day, Uribe is pitching a ton, and these three guys are pitching a lot, and I feel like I would feel a little bit better about this whole thing if you had another guy out there to go along with what they have already.
I mean, maybe, but they also have some really good arms in AAA that probably should be in the big leagues that just aren't getting, you know, the opportunity because the bullpen's doing so well, right? And if you start looking at the trade deadline, like, the Brewers need this, the Brewers need this. I know the big one is, you know, get a big bat that's going to play first or third. Like, totally get it. But again, you're sacrificing maybe, you know, maybe some production, run production, some home runs, some slug. And you may sacrifice some defense. I don't know. And does that player exist? And everybody wants to say, well, I think they should get this guy, and they should get this guy. And you know, and I'm sure if you guess enough times, eventually maybe you'll be right. But I don't see anything wrong with this team. They just swept the Dodgers, you know, and didn't bat an eyelash. Like, they just, they're standing tall. They're playing their game. Rhys Hoskins goes down. Here comes Andrew Vaughn, right? Like, some of this stuff they're out ahead of already. Trying to find a guy, get him in place, get him ready in AAA to have him come to fruition in front of our eyes. Almost like, where did this guy come from? I mean, I love that because it shows that they're thinking ahead. And I think that's what Matt Arnold probably has done better than a lot of GMs out there, is just prepare for what we don't know yet.
So then it's the Nationals for three games. Any, I mean, you've been through this. Any fear of thinking ahead to the break and so forth and letting a potential series get away from you because you're thinking of the All-Star break? Murphy earlier in the week said they were doing this extra infield practice and everything because he knows the week going in the All-Star break, sometimes players' minds can tend to wander a little bit, and he was trying to keep them a little bit more focused. Well, now you come off a sweep of the Dodgers, day off today, you're 3 days away from having a four-day break. Any worry about that, or you think this team's locked in?
Yeah, I'm not worried. Like, I have no fear because, I mean, I'll be off as well.
That's
know,
right.
For 4 days. Everybody gets a break from me. And no, I think it is a fear. I think Murph is right. Like, there is, as a player, when you see that halfway point, which is, you know, a little further than halfway, like, you tend to kind of go, okay, just got to get there. I think he's encouraging him to go, no, just pretend like you're just going to keep playing, you know, like, just keep doing the same thing. And every player knows that, but you want to hear it from the manager. You want to hear it from the guy that's like, listen, here's the tendency. Let's get away from that and do this. And I think it's very relevant when you're watching how they played against the Dodgers. And, you know, they could even improve. There were some areas, there were some things that they didn't do completely 100% perfect. And so, you know what? You got the Nationals coming in. They got some ballers on that team. So how are they going to respond after sweeping the Dodgers? There's no pressure there. There's no pressure. The vibes are good. Those guys want to play baseball, and they want to play correct baseball. And Murph, I'm telling you, Murph doesn't care. He wants his team to play the game the right way, and they've been doing that.
And hopefully the fans show up in Pac American Family Field for these last three games against the Nationals like they did against the Dodgers. Tim, thanks so much for coming on this Thursday. Next Thursday, you're off. Enjoy your time off, whatever. We'll come back and get back together in a couple weeks.
Oh, nice. Oh, good. I got off next Thursday. Good. I won't even remember what day it is. I will say this, though. Come out to the game. I'm going to be back at the pregame, postgame desk out there in Nelly's Corner. So come nice. See me and say hello.
I will. Yeah. Indeed. Take care. There he is. Tim Diller joining us as he does each and every Thursday. FanDuel Sports Network, Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter @DimTillard. He is so good each and every Thursday.